on web snappers. My spider sense is tingling.
Else's spider sense tingling?
Welcome to Walloping Web Snappers, a Spider-Man podcast where we dive into every Spider-Man cartoon ever made. I'm Derek.
And I'm Doug.
And is your spider sense tingling?
I think you misspoke, because I think the show we do is called Walloping Web Strands, Derek.
Oh. And we'd like to take a quick moment to thank our spectacular patrons, Bo, Carl, Katie, Jason, Zoe, James, Keith, Cody, and Jonathan.
Thank you.
You all. And you might notice that the date that this episode is being dropped in your feed is not a normal day of a normal episode of our show, because today, if you're listening on the day that it has been dropped, I don't know why I'm talking like this, like a robot, maybe it's because I'm talking like a droid. Speaking of, the day that this episode is dropping is May 4th, which, of course, May the 4th be with you. It is Star Wars Day, and it is a Star Wars Day special. We are crossing over with a fellow Glitterjaw show, Distant Echoes, a Star Wars podcast, which means we are welcoming Cass and Tommy. What is up, y'all?
Yo, May the 4th.
May the 4th. May the 4th.
I don't know what that is. That's our chant, apparently.
It's virtual chanting, which is always a good idea. Yeah. It will make syncing things very easy, though.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. You know what? That's a little gift to you, Doug.
Thank you so much.
We're great. We're excited to talk about this this incredible episode of television.
It is a beautiful thing, and I'm very happy to expose you to it.
Oh, my goodness.
I feel exposed.
I feel exposed. Yeah.
Yeah. Indecently exposed, you could say.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So, I guess for a little bit of table setting, as a Glitterjaw crossover, you might be listening to this on the Distant Echoes feed. You might be listening to this on the Walloping Web Snappers feed. There's like slightly different versions. So you get to see like two parallel reality versions depending on if you listen to. So if you want to listen to both of them.
Which is the universe of light and which is the universe of darkness or black hole?
Black hole.
So, I mean, this is such an interesting thing to be done, because it's Star Wars Day.
Yeah,
obviously Spider-Woman isn't a Star Wars cartoon.
What?
But
I did not know that.
I thought this was just an episode of Clone Wars.
Well, actually, Disney owns both properties, so technically
everything's canon now.
Jessica Drew's actually a Disney princess.
Yeah.
Reporters can't be princesses. What are you talking about?
What?
We love our collective fandom so much.
Yeah.
So much.
Yeah.
The good parts, though, truly, we do.
Yeah. Some aspects of them. Yeah. We love the people that are part of the fandom that listen to our podcasts.
Yes.
That's what we
love. Us too.
But yeah, this is a Spider-Woman that's like super heavily inspired by Star Wars. This is actually one of two episodes that have like very direct Star Wars references. I'll get to that. I guess if you are a Walloping Web Snappers listener, I will say, you know, normally you go pretty chronologically with these shows just because of this is just a one-off that we're doing from Spider-Woman. So we are technically skipping episode 11 for right now, just so we can have this episode on May 4th. So like if you're a Walloping Web Snappers listener and you've been listening consistently and they're like, you skipped a Spider-Woman episode, we'll get back to it eventually.
How
it's just a lot of order. And you know what? I know it's wild because the continuity is all out of whack. Like, you really don't know where these characters are in their overall series arc or anything at this point. But you'll be able to, I think you can figure it out dropping into this episode.
Think about this, Walloping Web Snappers listeners. The Distant Echoes folks, they're skipping every other episode of the series.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, we'll be
okay. It's true.
I think if there's one thing comic fans and Star Wars fans don't care about, it's continuity. They really don't.
No one has ever.
I've never
cared
heard
about
a single
that.
Conversation.
Never,
about that,
never heard a conversation. I also like that I was like trying to time that with you taking a sip, Derek. So I was hoping to get a space academy, but yeah.
That's great. I also love how just aggro we're being about.
I know.
Phantoms
I know.
Right now.
It is
Star Wars Day.
It is Star Wars Day. It is a special holiday. It is. You know what though? I will say. It's fun that people turn May the 4th into something. Like, I just think that's a really cute, clever thing, obviously. Yeah. And I mm-hmm. like that the studios have embraced it. I mean, obviously there's marketing and, you know, if you want to be cynical about it, like, of course they're going to embrace it because why wouldn't they? It's like a day made for like a, you know, a property. But I do think it is fun. And I love that it gets people looking at Star Wars and Star Wars adjacent stuff in a different light, which is one of the reasons why when you asked us to do this, I was mm-hmm. really excited because it's like, this is just so out there. You know, it's like, you're going to have people talking about all of the movies and you're gonna have people talking about all the TV shows and stuff like that, and it's like, why mm-hmm. not just like talk about something that is heavily inspired by Star Wars, that isn't another property that a lot of people might not even know about. Our listeners might not know that this episode exists, so I think it's really
or the
fun
show even at all. I think like that I agree with you. I think there's something really special to the influence that Star Wars has had across media all over the world, you know, and how cyclical it is too, right? Because so much inspired Star Wars, like George Lucas was riffing on so many things, like intentionally and directly. But then you turn around and like, you know, he riffed on a lot of like Japanese cinema, for example. Mm-hmm. And then you turn around and like Japanese cinema and like otoku and anime then starts riffing on Star Wars from there, you know? And so it is really interesting. Like, you wouldn't expect a Spider Woman cartoon from 1979, which is barely even like only tangentially related to the Spider-Woman comics to begin with, to then suddenly just be like, now we're just basically going to do a Star Wars episode, you know,
just like
not one to one, but kind of in some ways. So it's just really cool to see that. And actually, I wanted to ask you all, this is not a question I've prepped anyone on, so it might be a hard one to answer. Do you have a favorite non-Star Wars thing that is riffing on or inspired by Star Wars, whether Ooh. like in a funny way or in a serious way or what or not?
Wow.
What a question.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
Oh, man. So unfortunately, the first thing that comes to mind is the Family Guy.
I knew you were going to say that.
Oh, Star Wars. Hey, you had those on DVD, so.
I still have them on DVD. So here's the thing. There's some problematic elements in those because, I mean, it's fucking Family Guy. But I do remember them being just kind of fun riffs. I also think that, not to steal anyone else's, but like the Robot Chicken as well.
Oh,
Those were super fun ones. Any time there is like a little parody that is doing something different. What I liked about the Family Guy one was they were just like, we're just going to do the movies. Like, we're just going to do like episodes that are like the whole movie, all like the whole trilogy. And I think that's a really clever idea for a show like that to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the Robot Chicken, obviously that's just like a lot of, you know, references and, you know,
it was
just
like a bunch of sketches, right?
Sketches. So, yeah. So stuff like that is always pretty interesting to me, I think.
Yeah.
It's not like the whole property or anything, but it's very clear that Pixar and the folks who make Toy Story have reverence for Star Wars because they put little Star Wars things in here and there, especially in Toy Story 2 with the Zurg of it all.
Yeah.
I love that. That's always so funny to me.
That's a good
one.
Well,
I'm Googling this because I can't think of anything.
I did too.
I'm like looking and I'm like, I don't know any of these either. Yeah. There's some weird, there's a porn parody.
Of course there is.
That's my favorite, even though I've never seen it. I'm just joking. Tommy, I'm surprised you didn't mention any of these Simpsons ones.
Well,
I don't know if we've actually watched those. There's a newer.
So many things like make references to Star Wars. Yeah. I think that there is like, because so many cartoons have just made Star Wars jokes, it's so in pop culture. But you think like the Family Guy thing does feel different than like Simpsons doing Star Wars jokes because it was such a committed like one-to-one basically adaptation of Star Wars in a way, you know?
I remember what my favorite one is. Oh. It is the Community paintball episode.
Oh, that's such a good call because it was kind of like subtly Star Wars.
Yeah.
Parody.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because remember, Abed was like Han Solo, right? I'm pretty sure. Or maybe.
No, he was. Yeah. Because it was basically an interesting, because it was a Western. It was a two-parter and the first one was a Western. And then part two kind of became Star Wars, but like specifically because it wasn't sci-fi, they weren't in spaceships. So it was specifically like the rebellion aspect of Star Wars, like down on the ground, which was such an interesting way to do a Star Wars homage. So there was no like lightsaber battle equivalents. It was like, what if Star Wars was just focused on like Han and like the rebellion, which
Andor,
is really interesting.
Before
like,
there you go. Andor right. existed.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
I'm thinking of so many things though. Now that the, like juices are flowing,
yeah,
like Weird Al's parodies of other songs that are Star Wars songs. Those are all great. I know like most of the cast of this show is like not great, I guess, but like that 70s show, because it was in the 70s doing their Star Wars release episodes.
Oh, that one's great. Yeah, that's great.
I thought that was so clever and like a smart thing for them to do.
I just was like looking stuff up too, and it's not the same thing, but I like that SNL did the Undercover Boss with the sequel trilogy.
That was so good.
That was really good. That was really good and really fun. Yeah. I think that parodies are sometimes like can come across like not like. I know that's probably the one that everyone thinks we would mention would be like Spaceballs, which is a good film, but like it's not really like my favorite thing because it's like, I don't know how to explain it. It just like doesn't hit it the way that like I was like some of these other ones did.
Yeah.
I don't really like Spaceballs. Is that okay?
No. You're fired from our podcast.
My answer was going to be, there's like a deep cut that I found recently that I was really, that I thought was really, really cool, that people of a certain age might have known this, cause I think it had to have some breach in like Western culture, but it's specifically a tokusatsu thing. So this is, and I did not set this up to like do a plug for the thing that I was doing, because after this episode would have dropped, I would have already done a Toku Thursday stream that was like a Star Wars themed one. Ooh, it would have happened 2 days ago. So I can't actually plug that because it already happened. Unless
it was great.
Maybe it'll get rerun or something. I don't know. But like the actual event, I can't promise if it's being rerun or not. I found a bunch of like kind of Toku things, and some of them it's sort of like, oh yeah, here's a character using a lightsaber, like whatever. But there are a couple of things that came out like in the 70s and 80s that were specifically like, we have the technology to do like a practical effects riff on Star Wars. It's a space show. So there's like one, like, I think it's a Tsuburaya show called Message from Space, which is pretty cool. But the one that I was really like, absolutely like freaking losing my mind over, it is a show called X-Bomber. It did get an English dub in the UK called Starfleet. But
Starfleet.
That's Star Trek.
Hold on.
Right. But you know, it was in the 80s, so it was during like the slower period for Star Wars.
Yeah.
And it was the UK. I don't know exactly what permeation.
They've
Star
never
Wars
heard of Star
UK.
Trek over yeah, there. So it's fine.
But either way, the thing about X-Bomber is that it is a tokusatsu show, which if you don't know, it's like a live action Japanese special effects show, right? They're done with marionettes. Like it's fully a puppet TV show.
What?
So if you've seen like Thunderbirds or like Team America, like that kind of stuff, but done in like 1980, and the puppet designs just look like 80s anime characters if you see them. And it is so cool. So you have these like marionette puppets in just Star Wars ships, just like absolutely like almost one-to-one like TIE fighters and stuff. And it's a similar like, you know, there's an empire and there's a princess, like space wizard shit. Like it's space wizard shit. Like it's so clearly a Star Wars riff, and it's just so cool to see something like, because I mean I would love to see a Star Wars show done with marionettes anyway, and it's like you basically have it. They did it in Japan in 1980. It's so fucking cool.
It's wild that I've never heard of that, because when we covered the Clone Wars animated movie film, like the actual film, I that's excuse me, that's where I learned that the designs for the clones and all the people are based on like that Thunderbird style marionette.
That makes so much sense.
Right?
Yeah. Holy shit.
Yeah. Once you see it, you're like, I can't not see it that way now. Mm-hmm.
I'm not surprised that you wouldn't have come across this. So, I mean, it literally was like 1 year, 25 episodes that it was done. I'm sure it was extremely expensive to make. So like, it is truly like a deep cut thing that I think, unless you were like in Japan or in the UK watching this in 1980, like I people who are making Star Wars maybe didn't even know it existed when they were coming up with the marionette idea for the Clone Wars designs, you know, like it might have nothing to do with each other. It's just funny that idea has come up more than once.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I can 100% tell you that that was my favorite moment of the last Toku Thursday. Because
me too.
Learning that now, I 100% am gonna tune in especially for that.
We're fucking up the timeline here.
Yeah.
Not the timeline.
What we do.
Yeah. Oh, you haven't seen the music video that is gonna be playing after the X Bomber shows that's related to it. So
I love when yeah. you find music videos.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I mean that was a fun tangent. And I mean it's all just set up for what we're doing with this episode, which is an episode that just Star Wars inspired. And one more thing before we even get into this one. So this episode, obviously, we're going to dig into the Star Wars stuff that's in it. This isn't the only Spider-Woman episode that does like a Star Wars thing. This is this one is the more Star Wars-y one because it does literally deal with spaceships and has more stuff in it. There is another episode, two episodes from this one. So I guess episode 13 called A Crime in Time. That one, it's a time travel story. Spider-Woman goes to the year 3000, whatever. It has nothing to do with space stuff.
What the fuck?
Except the villains in the year 3000 are just Wookiees. They are literally Wookiees in every sense of the word. Yeah. They just look exactly like Wookiees. They talk like normal people, which is kind of a bummer.
That's dumb.
Why?
Yeah. But I wonder
why they're evil.
I thought that was important to call out because that's like yet another Star Wars thing. Like the designs are even more one-to-one than our Darth Vader dude in this episode is. It's just wild.
I'm Googling this too.
Yeah. It's just not as it's not as Star Wars-y that episode as this one is, but
yeah,
you know, it's still just wild that like Spider-Woman did it twice.
That's
funny. This show was made like a year after the first Star Wars movie came out. So
yeah.
Oh my God, they're literally wearing they look like the Bernstein Bears as Wookiees. Like they look like if the Bernstein Bear dad was dressed up as Chewbacca for Halloween.
Incredible.
Yeah.
And more buff.
Yeah. Yeah.
So funny.
Yeah.
Oh, that is great. Yeah, I mean, okay. This makes me wonder, how many other things around this time also, like, pulled direct inspiration from, like, I'm thinking, like, other animated series. Like, I assume that this is, like, kind of the bigger one of, like, Marvel properties and stuff like that. But are there other ones where, like, you have Darth Vader, a weird looking Darth Vader show up, or like weird Wookiees? Like, because of the popularity of the film, like, that's why they did it, obviously.
Probably.
So, like, I mean,
for sure. Yeah.
I wouldn't at all be surprised if, you know, I mean, this would be a little bit later, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if there were like Ewok ripoffs on, like, just
strewn
about random cartoons or
Wait,
just
I thought
various
Care Bears
aliens.
Were Ewoks. I thought they were a ripoff of a.
That's funny.
I want to just swap them. Just
oh my God.
Keep everything the same except swap the Care Bears and the Ewoks.
Hell yeah.
But I'm sure there's tons of stuff. I feel like there's something like right on the tip of my memory that is like just blatant, you know, like lightsaber stuff around here. I mean, I know this episode will do that, but even more so. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, someone out there is probably like, Star Wars didn't invent laser swords, but
sure.
I'm
but
sure.
They definitely popularized them.
Sure.
Right. Right.
We've been watching X-Men 97. Didn't Storm have a lightsaber randomly?
Mm.
Oh.
In,
I don't know.
Well, you're, yes.
She had a double-bladed
in
lightsaber.
Sick.
Yeah, when she fights with the Morlocks, she has a double-bladed... No, the Morlocks have the lightsabers. I don't remember... Oh.
Down there fucking battling with lightsabers.
Now,
like,
granted, that was in 1991, right?
92 is when that show started.
92, sorry,
so.
Yeah. So, like, that's way, way later, but... Yeah, I do recall that. That is a fun. That's a fun pull.
Yeah,
I just remember looking away for a half second and then looking back, and Storm just had a yellow double bladed lightsaber, and I was like,
ooh.
"Am I going crazy? Like, because I've been consuming so much Star Wars shit, I just thought my eyes were like,
yeah, you're just like, I didn't know what was happening. Lightsabers and things.
Yeah,
yeah."
Oh boy. Yeah, well, let's start getting into this episode then.
Yeah, what are we talking about?
We're talking about Spider-Woman season 1, episode 12, entitled Invasion of the Black Hole.
Mm.
Oh my.
What a title. What a title.
This is what a not title. This is not a triple X Star Wars parody.
This one isn't, but that's out there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. That's true.
Many times over.
Oh, invasion of Graviton's black hole.
Oh, my.
Oh, that too.
The sequel, Invading Graviton's Black Hole.
The synopsis for IMDb is a UFO attempts to swallow the Earth in a black hole in readiness for an invasion. The original air date was December 7th, 1979, just a couple years after A New Hope came out, and one year right before Empire Strikes Back comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's right in that hot spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've mentioned Graviton many times. The characters that we are introduced to here, Graviton is our Darth Vader. Nobot is our droid.
Nobot.
And Dr. Jansen is just a guy who works at an observatory. And just I don't know who voices any of them, because this is one of those shows that just has a voice cast and doesn't say who does what.
So. Oh my Gotta God. Love that.
Yep. And oddly, I was actually really surprised that there isn't really clear documentation for who voiced Graviton because of what this episode is.
Right.
Like, at the time, they probably weren't like, oh, this is going to be something people care about. But I'm still shocked no one has really done the detective work.
Yeah.
Because it's got to be out there. Someone knows it, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sure if I really, really, really got into digging for it, maybe someone has a theory. But it's weird that it's not really obvious.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
I think too, for Distant Echoes listeners, like, you know, like we're listing new characters for this one episode, but for Distant Echoes, I'm assuming you're probably unfamiliar with Spider-Woman if you're listening on the Distant Echoes feed.
Oh, we've covered the whole show at this point.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
nice.
We got really sidetracked.
Yeah.
In the time of us recording this and releasing it, we've watched and recorded about the whole series.
Yep.
Yeah, that is a good point, Derek. This show, Spider-Woman, is about Jessica Drew, who people are probably more familiar with now because of Into the Spider-Verse, but this is sort of like the OG version of Spider-Woman. She works at Justice Magazine. That's like her daily bugle. Mm-hmm. And she works with this guy named Jeff, who fucking sucks.
Yeah, Jeff is literally the worst. Just a misogynist. He is on the show to be a misogynist. Piece of shit.
Okay.
Thank you.
And a photographer, but not good at it. Every episode.
I'm so glad you said that.
Every
I'm
episode.
So glad.
And I think, like, the show knows it. He sucks. Like, and they make Jessica and Billy fucking hate him. It honestly kind of rules how much, like, the show recognizes that this guy fucking sucks.
Very often, Jeff will, like, do something or say something misogynistic, and then the whole. Yeah, see, that motorcycle's pissed about it, too. Every once in a while, like, often, Jeff will say something misogynistic, and then the whole actual joke is that he sucks, and, like, Jessica will pull one over on him, or, like, you know, Billy will take a dig at him that Jeff doesn't understand. Like, it's so, they know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
So I'm so glad you brought that up, because Tommy was mad at me because I kept saying how misogynistic he was.
Yeah,
he didn't think they had made a misogynistic joke. He wasn't mad because I was saying he wasn't defending him.
Tommy's like, not all men, Cass.
I first of all, I had to not all men you, and second of all, I just didn't. So there's a moment where the car is driving up. And I'm jumping way ahead, obviously, but like,
that's fine.
The car is driving up and Jeff goes, oh no, it's a UFO. And then he's like, what'd you do? Give the car a tune up to Jessica. And your interpretation of that, Cass, was that he was making
I think he was making fun of how a woman driving.
That was that.
That was my read of it too.
Okay,
exactly.
All right.
He acted scared. He was like, "Oh, she's coming. It's a UFO. She's just driving a damn car."
I don't think that part is different. That's more. That part was more. I think it's not well represented in the animation, but it's like those moments in like the X-Files, for example, when someone looks up and it's like a bright light in the sky, and then it turns out to be a helicopter.
Oh, okay.
That's all they were doing. It just isn't represented in the animation because he's clearly. See that it's a car driving on a road, so it makes no sense.
I thought
sense
he was being a complete asshole.
It's not, that part, it's just, it's not well represented, but I get what they were trying to go for with a, you know, classic UFO thing. The thing that was a misogynistic joke about that moment is the way he is sort of like he's sort of like trying to cover for himself for his weird freakout moment, and the way he covers for himself is just being like, What did you do? Give the car a tune-up? Like, it's so ridiculous that Jessica could repair a car to make it work again.
Yes, that as well. I thought they were like, I thought it was both.
And having seen Jeff do this over and over, that's 100% what it is. And the whole like Jeff fucking something up and then taking it out on Jessica, or like taking credit for something Spider-Woman does, big thing in this show. It happens a lot.
Yeah.
Where she just is sort of like, I don't need to impress or prove anything to you, Jeff. Believe whatever you want to believe.
And I will say too, with the line about fixing the car, like 100% on that. And I also, I think the other challenge was that I had, the first time I watched it, I like wasn't watching his face, but when I watched it again, right before the record, I did see that they gave him a very like smug look on his face when he says it. And I was God. I get it.
He's a smug bitch. Absolutely.
Yeah, he sucks.
Yeah,
he sucks.
Yeah, it's that really, those are our core three characters: Jessica, Jeff, and then Billy, who's her nephew, I believe.
Yeah, who?
What is his deal?
Well,
he's
okay,
honestly,
it's pretty good.
Cool. I like. Yeah. Okay. Like, you would think that he's gonna be the annoying kid.
We thought.
I know you've
sure.
talked about this with like Omega and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, when you see a kid on a animated show, it's usually like a red flag.
Instantly hate them. Yes.
Yeah, and we thought that. I remember when we first started it, but then it's like. Billy is like, because it's only those three characters ever, Jessica's doing her superhero stuff, Jeff is being a piece of shit, so Billy's whole role most of the time is to call Jeff out and him being a piece of shit like try to cover for Jessica, because our headcanon is that he knows Jessica is Spider-Woman, even though like in the context of the show they don't say that.
Yeah.
Honestly, it always makes more sense if you just assume that he knows who she is and he's trying to cover for her, for this fucking idiot named Jeff that's next to him.
Absolutely.
I love that.
I like that.
And you
read,
know what's funny is that he has blonde hair and brown eyes like Omega too. So he's like the Star Wars universe of Omega.
Yeah.
It is all cyclical. Whoa. Okay. Well, I guess let's get into what happens in this episode. It centers mainly like a plot from this Darth Vader, like leader of the universe of Black Hole named Graviton. And
I know some people who live in the universe of Black Hole.
Universe of Black Hole. Yeah.
Oh.
Whoa.
And his whole plot is to turn the Earth into a black hole. Which is weird. And this is discovered by Spider-Woman and the Justice Magazine crew and some guy named Dr. Jensen from a nearby observatory. The transformation of Earth into a black hole for some reason involves a lot of, quote, disintegrating of buildings.
Yeah.
They keep saying he's disintegrating things.
My take was that Jessica is misinterpreting the black hole thing as fully disintegrating when it's really just like converting it into like this alternate reality black hole thing.
Yeah. I mean,
and that was just her perception of it, describing it as disintegrating, I guess.
It's totally possible. It's just the whole plot is wild, and the depiction of like what black holes are is wild. Because when they're talking to like Dr. Jansen, he explains what a black hole is, and he does like a pretty like quick and dirty good job of being like, oh, a black hole's a collapsed star, and you know, the gravity's so strong that light can't even escape it. I'm like, all right, great, we know what a black hole is. But then when they actually turn the Earth into a black hole, it's just like, oh no, this is a world where there is no light and color.
Yeah.
They made it look like there was a shot, we and Tommy were laughing about it, because like at, you know, near the end where they show the Earth like being, you know, taken by the black hole, it was like Earth looked like a piece of old chewing gum. Like it was just like so weirdly
weird.
Like
so
black
strange.
And white, and like also the black hole power, whatever the fuck it was, like the dark power.
The
it
black
was like,
energy.
It
black
was like energy, lava. Yeah. It was like lava. Yeah. It was like bubbling up and shit. I was like, it was like bubbling up.
Yeah, it was
up
like tar.
Yeah, it was so weird.
Yeah, it's really fascinating how they render it. Because yeah, it like looks like tar that's like bubbling. Mm-hmm. I do love the idea that it's like just this pitch black with white outlines.
Yeah.
And then occasionally
and
little
glitter.
Glitter. Yeah. Glitter, yeah. It's just so, like, I mean, I guess I don't know how you would visualize black hole energy exactly. So at least they pick something sort of unique. Like, it does stand out. Like, I will remember this weird-ass vat of bubbling black, white outline glittering ooze, I guess.
Well, it, yeah.
Not to get caught up on the mechanics of it, because, I mean, none of it really makes that much sense.
Like, no.
Which is fine. But, like, it is strange that, like, the first encounter with this is... Well, so first of all, actually, let me back up.
Oh, my God, that poor dog.
The dog. I thought they had just killed a dog, like,
yeah.
in the middle of yeah. the show. And I was like, what?
Because at that point, they're still only talking about disintegrating things.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I was just like, I can't believe they just killed a dog on this children's show.
I mean, at least it wasn't gruesome. It wasn't like yeah. you saw him get slowly sucked into a hole and his skin flayed off. And,
yeah.
You know what? Could you imagine if that happened?
That's in the, like, extended, yeah. the extended cut.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Also, the other thing I was confused about, so even before they get to the house black mm-hmm. hole spot in the episode, the UFOs fly overhead. And are just like, they have like a tractor beam that just shakes the hell out of their car.
Yeah,
like
what is yeah,
okay?
What is this was so strange to me. The shaking.
The whole opening of the episode doesn't really make sense if you think about it, right? Because you have that opening interaction with the car that they're in, which, like, on one hand, I get the classic, like, oh no, there's a UFO and a bright light and all the power from our car
yeah.
like shuts down.
Right. This
classic
was like
stuff.
Way before, but it was so like X-Files that yeah. I was like, ooh,
yeah.
this is
yeah.
very.
But, I got excited like, about that.
Right. And I'm like, oh, that's so cool. Like, that's classic UFO stuff. But then mm-hmm. they do nothing with it. The UFO just leaves. So it's like, why were you using the tractor beam at all? And it doesn't really play into their black hole
right.
plan.
I love
but then,
that shit.
But
I love
then,
that shit.
But then why? Then also, why were they so focused on that one fucking house in the middle of nowhere? Like,
it was like a farm, right?
Right.
UFOs,
it was
like
a farmhouse.
Well, here's the so it doesn't make any sense once you realize like what the plan is.
Right.
But as far as just like atmospheric UFO shit, I love when a UFO movie or whatever just has like UFO appear, weird shit happens, and then they leave because you're like,
mm-hmm.
what did they just do? Like, what yeah. are they trying well, to do to me? Yeah. Once you know what's going on, it doesn't make sense. But at least, like, for me, it was effective in the moment where I was like, yeah. ooh, that's so creepy.
Yeah.
I love that the black hole's main power was just like vibrating shit.
Yeah.
It just,
you know?
It makes it even, I know, it makes it even more sexual. It's like, oh no, it's going to vibrate me. I'm a milkshake
no.
now.
So,
yeah.
My other question, though, is I wonder, because I've never seen Close Encounters of the Third Kind, but like, is it like a riff on that potentially? Because that's another kind of reference point for this episode where,
oh, yeah.
I mean, they that's mention,
true.
She makes that like that joke later on. So I'm wondering if that is like an intentional, like in that movie, the UFO, like they have a short encounter and then they have another encounter later on. But
That could be part of it. I mean, yeah, because I mean, like the thing with this episode, I think is kind of funny is that like the last like kind of third of it is like has a lot of Star Wars-y things.
Yeah.
But the first, you know, the first like 2/3 of it,
mm-hmm.
they're clearly riffing on like either like 50s sci-fi UFO things
mm-hmm.
or like you were saying, like Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I actually didn't even think about Close Encounters, but yeah, that's so clearly what they're riffing on. I think you might be right. I feel like part of that is sort of like giving those vibes of like a family in a house, like, you know, like a
yeah.
typical suburban or in the middle of nowhere rural kind of thing. And like this, the terror of a UFO just like doing stuff and you don't understand why they're
well,
interacting with you.
I will say, just because it makes sense if that is what they're referencing, doesn't make it make sense necessarily in the that because it does
yeah.
feel
well
feels a little
if
disjointed.
You rip off, if you rip off two big like things, then maybe it distracts from having Star Wars shit in there because it's like,
yeah,
well, clearly
sure.
it's not just Star Wars; it's something
right.
else.
We're
so.
Just referencing space sci-fi
right.
stuff.
It's
yeah.
just it's a pastiche. It's a space
there
pastiche.
You go. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I was also thinking too, when I was watching this, I was like, it feels intentional. This is, and I'm going to walk you through my thought process because I'm wrong, but I was thinking like, it feels intentional that in this house, it's like, it seems to be like a single mom and her kid. And I'm like, oh my God, Graviton's going to be revealed to be the kid's dad. And that's their other, that's why he's coming after the house. And it's another Star Wars thing. But then I realized This is before Empire Strikes Back. That's
holy
not a
shit,
twist
you're right.
that people know about.
But wouldn't it have been crazy if they right. had like foreshadowed it?
That would have been right. wild.
Right. Like their father, mm. like, you know, got abducted by aliens or something and then yeah. took over this empire in space and then is coming back against
Anakin.
Their family.
Man.
He got butt probed and became Darth Vader.
We could say that that's what's really happening. We just
that's
don't get Graviton's whole story. Because
yeah.
otherwise, there's no reason why he was coming after this one house, you know?
Headcanon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Accepted.
Also, I love this. Sorry, I'm skipping a little bit because I love this picture of Billy with the yellow eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, looking, yeah.
He looks like a Sith, actually.
A little bit. He's got the Sith eyes coming on.
We will talk about some of these
oh,
faces
yeah.
of the episode
oh, yeah.
later, for sure. Yeah.
Well, okay, so the Justice magazine team is like looking for a story, and so they stumble across this one and also realize like, oh shit, stuff's going bad. So Jeff and Billy like fly off in the Justice copter, which is a thing that mm-hmm. they use in almost every episode, if not every episode. Mm-hmm. And I guess they're like supposed to alert the Air Force, which never shows up. That never becomes
no.
a part
oh,
of the episode.
That's so true. Where are they?
It never, they, I guess because
they
never
got
get
stopped,
there.
Stopped, yeah. They must have got stopped beforehand.
The inept
which
American
I have so
military.
Much to say about, yeah.
They were like, nah, we're not dealing with this shit.
Yeah, yeah. I can't wait to talk about some of the Jeff and Billy stuff, but this is the opportunity for Spider-Woman to like go off, or Jessica to go off and like be Spider-Woman. And this is where we like start to get some Star Wars stuff, because she just goes like right to the UFO
hell
and
yeah.
like has a lightsaber duel with Graviton, basically.
So does she always has a lightsaber web?
She's
light?
Never had this before. Like, so she has a Venom blast of her own, mm-hmm. kind of like Miles Morales does.
Yeah.
Where she, you know, she can like shoot like some level of spider electricity or whatever. But this is the only time. Yeah. So here's the thing. We have to talk about the Graviton
Wait,
of it all.
Derek, what? Because what? You mentioned Miles Morales, we've talked about Miles Morales when we talk about this show because of the Venom Blast, right? But
yeah.
also in the comics recently, like within the past year or something, Miles Morales also made a sword out of his electric
oh my God.
Powers.
No way.
So true.
They keep doing stuff that she did in the show.
Oh, that's
Miles.
Yeah.
That rules.
Yeah.
Spider-Woman was kind of OP. Like,
oh.
I feel
I mean,
like
truly,
the
yeah.
vibe I got from
power,
this.
She gets a power.
Yeah. The vibe I got from this one episode was like,
don't fuck with
she's
her.
Stronger than Spider-Man. Like,
oh yeah,
oh,
she can
Spider-Man,
literally fly.
In the very first episode of this series, Spider-Man's in the episode, and she's like, "You suck, man." Like,
I love this.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's great.
But yeah, no, really, truly, the reason that we're doing this episode at all is because of Graviton and
yeah.
this fucking lightsaber battle. Because Graviton rolls up, his design. I mean. We have to talk about his design, right?
Yeah.
It's like it's a Darth Vader riff. But like, what do you think about it? Because obviously it's not one-to-one
is
Darth
he a
Vader.
Bear? Is he?
So
yeah.
I,
what is
I
he?
Think
he has
it,
like a snout.
Yeah. The star. So yeah, he looks like a Darth Vader, like pig guy. But so, you know, because we're a Star Wars podcast, my thought was that he's a Gamorrean Darth Vader.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh my God.
Yes, he does.
That's so, he
or
looks
like,
so Ugnot. Much like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because
yeah.
like he, Yeah, and because he's got the beefy legs, and also mm-hmm. like his little guys, which maybe I should wait. Oh
his
yeah, oh
buddies.
Yeah, never mind. You got that picture, okay? Yep, that them cunty ass boots. I see them.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
good.
That was such a good. But anyway, yeah, he's like a Gamorrean. If a Gamorrean decided to cosplay Darth Vader,
yeah.
Were Gamorreans in A New Hope, or did they show up in later movies?
They were in. I don't know if they were in New Hope, but they were definitely in Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi for sure.
For yeah, sure.
They were in
right.
Jabba's palace.
But I don't remember if they were in it. But even still, I feel like it's unlikely that they like. It feels like that is such a coincidence, probably.
Yeah.
Like, which
it's
is
just
so
where my brain went.
But it's so funny because you're so right.
Oh, I love
like,
it.
It's a wild coincidence because it really does. Because I was trying to
all
figure that out too. I'm like, what is up
mm-hmm.
with that face? Both his face and you see it even more. You mentioned in like his version of the stormtroopers, right? Like you see it even more with the pronounced snout. And you're right. It is so Gamorrean. That is so fucking funny.
I also
wow.
saw some people talking about like Planet of the Apes and some of the mm-hmm. costumes and designs in Planet of the Apes. I don't know if that's more for like the henchmen because they look a little bit more ape-like than pig-like.
That's fair.
But
yeah,
there might be
that.
Some like older Planet of the Apes influences in here too.
That makes sense. Yeah, I do. I think it's funny. I wish his voice were better. Like, if they're going to do like a riff. Yeah.
Just
Vader,
fucking do it.
They should have just made it a cooler, fucking deeper voice. Mm-hmm. But I do like his design generally. And I do think they do some cool things. Like, they don't do that many cool things with him. But I do like before he's properly introduced, there's a moment when like he's just sitting in the shadows. And it's almost like a matte painting with just glowing red eyes. And like, that was really fucking cool. And if he had a good voice to match it, it would have been like an A+.
Yeah.
I agree.
No, I totally agree. I thought that was my biggest letdown for that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Were any of you aware of the fact that there was a Graviton character introduced into the comics basically around the exact same time who's completely different?
I saw that when I
didn't know that.
I was like looking
in Spider-Man or Spider-Woman, I guess?
In the Spider-Man, just in Marvel comics. I don't know who he belongs
to. No idea who he is.
But this is just another one, like another of these old Spider people cartoons that just straight up has an exact same name as another. Magneto is a thing that one of the Spider-Man cartoons did.
Love
Not Magneto. So Magneto.
Is it T-T-O-N-E-T-T-O?
No, it's spelled exactly the same.
Oh, you just pronounced
it
differently.
They put a doctor in front of the name, so it's Dr. Magneto, so he's a different character, obviously.
Also, here's another one, Graviton.
I was just on the side looking up Gamorreans, and I believe their first appearance was Return of the Jedi.
So just a coincidence. That's so
funny. Well, Spider-Woman... you hear it here. You've heard it first from us that Spider-Woman
is canon.
Created the origin story for Darth Vader and the Gamorreans.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
Yep, canon.
And lightsabers, I guess, maybe.
Well, those were in the movie first, but...
But not
Darksaber.
Not the Darksaber, for sure.
Yeah.
The Darksaber,
Yeah, Graviton just fucking... has a black hole dark. It is literally just a darksaber.
It looks just like the darksaber. Like it's
Tommy
wild.
Literally gasped and went, darksaber.
Yeah, because
it's so wild.
Well, it
even has the same shape.
The same shape. Stylistically, it's the whole idea. Again, we're just jumping way ahead, but like dark, it's like the dark versus the light. So it like literally is a darksaber. Like if you were to break it down that way. So
dark side, light side.
Yeah. I mean, that's what the whole plot of this episode at the end is just, they are just basically visualizing the dark side versus the light side. Yep. That is the whole thing.
Yep. But like much more literally than
a
metaphor.
Yeah, can we talk literalizing about this? Because they call him the leader of the universe of Black Hole, which is wild phrasing.
What does that even mean?
I don't fucking know.
That sounds like a porn story reference right there.
But then he at one point, like he later refers to our universe or Spider-Woman's universe as like the universe of light. So there are like two literal, like tangential dimensions of like dark and light. Is that what we're supposed to understand here?
I guess so. I also think that part of it is like they're just using black hole as a term because it sounds cool and as a space term. And there is like the Disney like black hole movie comes out the same year.
What is the Disney black hole movie?
It's a lot. It's not like Disney like
Holes?
Animated or whatever. It is one of the live action like 70s sci-fi movies.
Yeah,
oh, it's interesting. It's got a cult following. I've seen it. I'm neutral on it. Some people really love it. Some people really hate it. It is a very interesting movie. I think it's worth watching just to like see like Disney trying to do their version of like a Star Wars or 2001 kind of thing. But it comes out this year. I don't think that they wouldn't have seen this movie when this episode was in production probably, because I think it literally comes out at the same time. But I'm sure that like you would have heard like, oh, there's a sci-fi movie called Black Hole coming out. So if we're doing Star Wars and Close Encounters, why not try to tie it into what will be the current potentially huge sci-fi movie? It wasn't. I think it was like a notorious kind of bomb. But like try to tie it in. So I think that they probably were sort of like, they're like, okay, we've got a movie on a black hole coming up. So we're just going to put black hole all over this episode to make it, to riff on, you know, and piggyback on what will be the concurrent sci-fi movie coming out. I don't know that for sure, because I don't know if the timing in their production will work out for when they would have known about that. But
things
I think it's entirely possible.
Like
I think it's entirely possible.
You see
possible.
That shit all the time.
Right.
So is in that movie, Derek, because one of the things I was wondering about is I've always heard like there's a not a, a scientific theory, but almost like a lore theory for like black holes that like, because it's like, we don't know what's on the other side of a black hole. Like it could be like an alternate dimension. Like, is that in the movie Black Hole? Or is that just like, I don't know.
I know they do that in Star Trek, but
I don't really remember. So, a lot
obviously
of
later on.
Anthony Perkins is in the movie, which is always kind of funny, like from Psycho.
Ernest Borgnine is in that movie.
Yeah, I don't really remember. There's some like psychedelic stuff that happens in it. So like, yeah, kind of.
But I do think that might be where the whole alternate reality piece comes from.
Oh,
just
wait,
like,
no, I remember. They go, I don't want to spoil it. But
yeah,
also,
no, no, I'm
care.
Absolutely going to watch this movie.
Yeah, I can't believe I
spoil
forgot.
It, but I'm totally
I mean, there is
watch
psychedelic
it.
Stuff, and like, they do like go to hell or whatever. So like, it's fucking, it's an interesting.
I want to watch this now too.
I'm so excited to watch this movie. Holy shit.
Maybe I should, I might need to rewatch it. Cause I feel like maybe I was like, not in the right heads, because there are people who.
When did this come out again?
In this year, like it actually comes out like maybe like a week or two after this episode comes out, and I can say,
wow,
oh, shit,
I am so fascinated,
so intrigued.
They go to hell, like hell is a literal place that. There's a movie called Thorns that just came out recently that is absolutely god awful dog shit that has like a similar sort of. Premise where like hell is a literal
just spoiled like the universe twist ending of it essentially, like that's not like
so the black hole
that's like the end of it
takes you to hell kind
incredible
I'm guessing
incredible
sorry awesome. People for spoiling the black hole I guess for everyone
whatever
but because I mean there's a
this
whole
movie
other
existed
yeah. I mean it sounds rad as hell.
Yeah,
literally.
Yeah, I still want to watch it. Now I just
totally
want to watch it. So
yeah. Honestly, Derek, I think you probably convince more people to watch it than would otherwise.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Just
okay.
Period.
Okay.
In general.
At least the three of us. So
yeah. I think I probably, if I saw it again, because I don't even remember when I watched it, honestly, originally, I feel like I maybe would be watching it with a different eye. Because, I mean, anything with like special effects from this time period doing sci-fi stuff, even if the plot isn't really amazing, which I don't even think that's the problem with that movie. I think it's just got kind of a lot going on. It still would probably be really fun to watch. So yeah. I probably will revisit it too.
I love every poster I'm seeing for this movie. Oh
yeah, I mean,
God.
The visual stuff are the things that I do remember being really cool. So
about Black Hole, let's keep talking about that movie.
Let's talk about Graviton's Black Hole.
Please. God, where even were we? I guess we were talking about the lightsaber fight.
Yeah,
right?
We just got in there.
I wish that there were more.
It was
of
a
it.
Really shitty lightsaber fight. They were just like slowly poking at each other.
Yeah, it was not good.
It was pretty lame.
Well, yeah, where does this rank? Is this the actual bottom of like lightsaber fights if we're talking just the 9 movies, or are there worse ones in the movies than this?
But also, if you think about it, consider that this is the time when there's only been literally one Star Wars movie, and there's only the one lightsaber battle between Obi-Wan and Darth Vader
exactly.
in New Hope, right?
And
it's
that
kind
was
of,
Gordon,
not that good.
It's not that good
Flash,
of a fight.
Flash Gordon had a lightsaber-esque thing, which is what Star Wars got lightsabers from, like to some extent.
But I do.
Were they like sword fights?
Sword fights. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. But. I mean, and you're right. Like even as like a sword fight, like the Obi-Wan Darth Vader fight isn't really a good sword.
No,
fight.
I was going to say like,
no.
ones. But I feel like this episode, if it's really trying to almost like, I feel like it's pretty one-to-one to the Obi-Wan Darth Vader fight in A New Hope, to be honest, in
that's
how slow
fair.
It moves and how short it is, you know?
That's true.
I think 100% that this is such a rabbit hole. But like there was recently
please tell me you're going to bring up the exact question I was just going to ask the two of you.
Oh, it was it the, no, well, this was a fan made extended Obi-Wan Darth Vader fight from the movie or something like that. That
yeah.
was just like,
I've seen that. It's stupid.
It's so dumb.
Was it AI generated?
They just add a bunch of like CGI flips and
it's
shit
not,
and running on walls. It's so cringe.
Star Wars
like,
fans are goofy.
Obi-Wan ain't flipping that when he's that old.
But
so
I think
goofy.
That said, I feel like it's the exact kind of thing. I'm honestly surprised that George Lucas didn't try to do that himself.
Oh, for
in,
sure.
Like some, you know, remaster or whatever at some point. Because they are, I mean, it is sort of an accurate like representation of like the types of fighting they do in the prequels.
I mean, he's got Yoda flipping around, bouncing off the walls.
Right. They just have Alec Guinness do it instead. And it's just like, It feels weird, but you know what?
I would want to see that. Yeah. Even though it'd be weird.
Yeah. I would take a peek, right? Yeah. If he could have done it, he absolutely would have done it.
Oh, for sure.
That's the entirety of the prequel movies is just like all the things he wish he had done, you know? Yeah. No, the question I was going to ask you, because recently it came up on Twitter, I don't even remember what the source of the debate was, but I didn't realize it was such like a hotly contested debate.
Oh,
but
sure.
Duel of the Fates versus Obi-Wan and Anakin on Mustafar, which is the best lightsaber fight? Because those are the two only, those are like the only two people were bringing up.
Oh,
and
it's
I know what mine is. Thank you.
There's no question about that. I think
but Anakin like different... and Obi-Wan on Mustafar are like just having a conversation. Happen.
There's well, a point at which they just like swing their shit around.
And then Obi-Wan just fucking cuts his limbs off in like 1 second. He does a dumb doopty flip and he's like, choop.
It's a
two different purposes for those. Yeah. For those two.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're both fine. I don't know. I don't know why that was debate. That was I saw that come up, but I don't know why that was a debate either.
It had something to somebody. I bet it was honestly just somebody saying like the best lightsaber fight in the series, and somebody else being like, "Excuse me, Mustafar." But I didn't realize there were so many people who thought that Mustafar was a better fight.
There's too much like CGI weirdness in that fight for me to like, and that stuff like I don't usually let it bother me, but like if we're talking about like purely one to one, like I just feel like that. Also, just like there's much more just like physical
the training
and stuff like that they did for
Darth Maul.
Yeah. The choreography is just too good.
Yeah, Ray Park, like it's just incredible. You gotta give it to it.
you can't. I don't feel like you can ever overlook. Not that there weren't like really cool things that Star Wars has done with CGI, obviously, but I do like when it comes to a choreographed fight sequence, you cannot overlook like what you can do practically. Like doing a really good, well choreographed, practical fight sequence that looks cool is always going to be miles
so much
better and have a lot more soul than CGI flipping, even if the CGI is really well done, you know?
Yeah.
Also, it's our first like look at Darth Maul for a long extended period of time. Like, who doesn't want that?
Are you going to see it again in theaters this weekend?
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely.
I guess
we'll be seeing it literally today.
Today,
listening. Yeah,
nice. I'm so excited to see it today.
I know, right?
Or maybe we've already seen it.
I'm
who knows?
Pumped to see it tomorrow.
That's so fun.
I wonder what happens.
Oh, I will say, not to
this Jar Jar guy has some juice. Seems pretty cool. excited to meet him.
Star of the show.
I was gonna say, not to derail us back on track. The lightsaber battle.
The opposite of derailing?
To rerail us.
To rerail us. The lightsaber battle.
That sounds sexual.
So much railing.
So much railing.
Rail that black hole. Sorry. You're trying so hard
to have a real episode, and the three of us are like,
nope.
Sex.
Nope.
I think
lightsabers are penises.
No, I don't care.
See, Tommy, this is why... Doug, you're not part of this conversation. This is why when you talk about the three of us, like me and Cass are Lauren and Paul, and you are Scott Aukerman in terms of three to us.
Actually, I'm not part of this conversation.
In terms of the two of us trying to interrupt Tommy all the time.
I reject that.
And
that,
not be able to get a word out, and then you probably get frustrated by it.
But no, I really did want to talk about a portion of this lightsaber fight because it's so strange how like she ends up like clogging up his lightsaber, right? Like with her, or is that like way later? Am I like jumping way ahead?
No, you're right. Like she like sucks it up with her.
Her webs are weird.
Yeah. Like what? Like I'm just so confused by that.
Any Spider-Man show that predates the 90s show, the web is going to do whatever it wants. And Jessica Drew's web especially is just like a tendril. Like it's just a finger that goes forever.
Yeah.
Like it's not
a finger that goes forever into that black hole.
Am I wrong?
I love that.
She just has full control over it. I feel like I get this wrong every time, and I feel like you correct me. Is Jessica Drew the one who at some point has like psychic webbing, or am I thinking of the wrong person?
That's cool. How does that
There's
work?
There's some Spider-Woman who has like psychic or psionic or something, whatever.
Does she like attach it to people and then like knows blanking. Their thoughts or something?
No, it's just it's webbing, but it's like energy and like mind stuff. I don't know.
I actually don't know. I'm fully drawing a blank on this.
Okay.
It's
not important. There are a lot of spider women.
It looks like it. I mean, I haven't verified this, but when I Googled that, Julia Carpenter
that makes sense. Because she's the one who becomes Madame Web and stuff like
at
that.
Some
like,
point,
she's always
yeah.
got these ties with psychic stuff.
Yeah,
that sounds really fucking cool.
Yeah, I mean, you know, honestly, you can see all of these Spider Women in the popular hit film Madame Web, which
so
is now
cool.
video on demand. I believe
all the
right now.
Action, all the Spider Women stuff, so many powers, all the webs.
All the webs. Well, now I want a Spider Woman. Now I want a psychic web power where she like ties someone up and then can like Jean Grey like listen to their thoughts or some
Ooh,
shit.
That does sound pretty fucking rad, honestly.
That'd be so cool.
I mean, they're pretty close with her. I mean, I don't know if the two of you really picked up on this, but Spider Woman's spider sense is just premonitions.
Yeah.
Again,
she's already
so
kind of
OP.
Psychic.
She's a fucking god. Like, good
the only
Lord.
Thing she sucks at is, well, actually, I guess she's good at it, but I hate it. So much alliteration.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Thundering
Every
tarantulas.
Uh-huh. Vibrating venom blasts.
Yeah. Like, the worst one was blistering bed bugs. I was like, that's
ooh,
disgusting.
Bed bugs. What?
Yeah.
Jessica.
Yeah, I said, don't. I don't.
She
don't
does live in
again.
New York, so
she does have bed bugs.
It's funny because I mean, she you know, she does that a lot in the show, but I do feel like she's like. It's up to 11 in this episode. It truly is. Every other line, she drops one of those. It's really
weird. I'm glad
weird.
That's not, like, the norm.
I mean,
like, because that
she does
me
it,
nuts.
But it's usually, like, three per episode. This was a
okay.
lot. This was a lot.
I wrote, great flying spiders, galloping tarantulas, we made it by a spider's whisker, thundering tarantulas, wondrous web weavers, snapping spider claws, walloping web strands. That's just a few of them. I didn't even write down all
There's
of them.
So many.
It's so many.
The blistering bed bugs. That
yeah,
one
that one's
was,
awful.
That's gross.
We made it by a spider's whisker, I actually really like. I thought
that was
kind of
like
that's
that.
Yeah,
that
it's kind of cute.
Yeah.
But at that point, I was annoyed and I was like, stop it.
That was like 5 minutes into the episode. It's already too much.
Actually, no. It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah. The over the topness of that was I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. Yeah. But
it's fun. Cartoons like this are fun.
Yeah.
I'm easily
like
agitated.
Yeah. It's fun and dumb.
I want to talk about the Earth as a black hole because Jessica doesn't stop Graviton before he can do this. So the world actually does become a black hole ? And
yeah,
there's so many things about this that are so funny to me. One, it becoming a black hole just means again that there is no color, and I guess everything weighs twice as much, which means nothing weighs twice as much.
Except everything, there's no color except for Billy and Jeff's clothes and hair and everything about them.
Yeah.
It's so strange.
They're the true gods of Earth.
Derek, was the scenery from this episode the moon from the other episode?
Yes, I think so. Okay. It looked like it.
Because
I was confused. Because at first, when I first watched it, I was like, wait, did they get it by a ray that like teleported them to the moon or another planet? Because it does. They do show the Earth, I guess, in some collection of other planets. So I guess the Earth got, by being turned into a black hole, it just got teleported to another dimension
about?
With a lot of other planets, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't know.
There were all these other weird planets in black and white, and I thought it was the solar
other.
System, but like, nothing looked quite right.
It's so
I couldn't tell what anything was when they did that. I had
no
idea.
That whole section of the episode makes no fucking sense.
And also,
you know what my favorite part about it is, though? The moment Earth is turned into a black hole, all Earthlings are enslaved and mining the planet.
It was so quick.
Instantly.
It was so quick. That's exactly what I was just going to say.
It's
like,
so
I love how
funny.
Right as that moment happens, somehow Billy and Jeff have already been captured and are already piloting a freaking mining like excavation vessel. Like, what?
Incredible. I thought I missed something. I like blinked and then they were like in some weird spacecraft.
Truly. Yes.
I'm obsessed with how fast it all happened.
It was
because
so
it basically just means like the entire planet was like, yeah, I guess we are. You're right. Like,
gotta
what?
Do it. But this
I
is...
didn't realize they were even enslaved on a mining vessel. I just thought, like, I missed that because it was so fast.
Like,
I
what
was
happened?
Like,
yeah.
Well, okay.
And it's funny because it's like the 0 to 60 doesn't stop there because then Billy is like, we can't just keep doing this to our planet. We have to fight back. So it's like immediately.
Billy, you've been doing it for 30 seconds.
30 seconds. It's been 81 years.
Right. Billy immediately like starts the rebellion and is like the leader of the rebels right now.
We gotta get through the whole
Billy
three movies.
Rules.
He's awesome. Yeah. But yeah.
Okay, I like Billy.
And then the Gamorreans, the guards are like, I'm just gonna call them the Gamorreans because
that's fine. Yeah.
They are like, we got some of the agitators here, and it's like, what is happening? Like, where else are there agitators?
There's factions, militants, rebels.
Yeah. Everyone.
Love, like, Billy and Jeff truly have to represent the entire planet because they don't want to draw any other humans in this entire episode.
Okay, but the Gamorreans also represent the entirety of the, like,
those two guys.
Empire, I guess. Because it's literally just Jeff and Billy and these two dudes.
Yeah. You know, there's always just, like, two... In Star Wars, there's always just like two stormtroopers. Yeah, that are just talking to each other. So like, that makes sense.
I am curious. It would have been a good opportunity for them to just do a riff on the stormtrooper uniforms. I'm surprised they didn't, and they just made everybody look like the Gamorreans.
They have the better uniforms.
Well,
than this.
These are better than stormtrooper.
No, I just meant like because they're so cunty.
I think we could talk about. Yes. I know we had it for like face of the episode or whatever at the end. We could talk about them. I feel like they're cunty ass boots. You're so right. It's so funny the way that they're designed.
Oh my God.
The way that picture that you picked too, where they're turned around and they're gams, they're just like, oh my Lord, what's going on?
I fell out of my chair. It looks like they just got like caught trying on mom's boots. Like it is funny, but they're also so fucking fierce.
Yeah, they're so fierce.
Yes, it's so good.
Like I gasped. I told Tommy, I said, rewind it. Go back.
This would be like the cunty boots. The cunty boots.
The cunty boots.
This would be the most obscure reference ever, but it would be so funny to do like a drag number.
Oh my God.
As them. I mean, I guess Alaska kind of did it on All Stars where she painted herself blue and wore black leather everything, but...
She wasn't referencing this.
We're black hole guards from
you know what I want to do now though? I want to redraw this, but like clone troopers. Like
wait, there's got to be somewhere where you can just like customize this.
We need to do that. Like Anna, it's like Anakin's face, but then it's like two stormtroopers looking back.
Oh, that's great.
Honestly, like.
Oh my God.
A cosplay, like this would be too deep kind of a cosplay. It would be confusing, but I do think a cosplay of stormtroopers or Darth Vader, something of the like, in this style, where it's like a stormtrooper with cunty boots and like a little underwear, like would be pretty fucking amazing.
This pose is the stormtrooper that pops his hip in that video. Have you seen that video?
No.
Oh, what are you talking about?
There's some video. It's so short. It's this tiny video, and it's some guy at one of the Disney parks, and he catches the attention of one of the stormtroopers and like pops his hip, and then there's a beat and the stormtrooper like pops his hip back. It is amazing.
Oh, that is so good.
I will try to find it for you.
This show is predicted so much. Like
I know, right?
So much.
The hip hop.
Hold on one second. I accidentally muted Doug and I can't undo it.
No.
Okay,
I can unmute
myself.
Yeah.
That was weird. That was so weird. I wasn't trying. I just accidentally clicked that.
I didn't know what was trying happening.
To Derek was like, stop referencing things no one's seen.
That's so funny.
You're muted.
We have run out of time to go on tangents in this episode. Yeah. Derek was like,
no more.
I'm shutting it down.
Over
shut it.
Shut
it down. We have important things to say about the Spider-Woman episode. I will say one other Star Wars-y thing that it's sort of a light thing, but I do think that the actual mothership, like not, you know, the UFOs look like UFOs, but the actual mothership from the top does look like a black version of the Millennium Falcon a little bit. Like it's not one to one, but in the way that Graviton is kind of Darth Vader-y, this is kind of Millennium Falcon-y a little bit.
And I know this is a, you know, 2D cartoon, but somehow it looked even flatter.
Yep. Uh-huh.
I don't know why. There were moments where I was like, that is a really flat ship.
Yeah.
Is it just like alien technology or like what? But it is paper thin.
Flat. Yeah.
It's flat. I will say too, the ship reminded me also of I was like, is it like Battlestar Galactica? Like that kind of like squarish like helm. It reminded me a little bit of like that too. But obviously that this would have been Well before that, I think, right?
I mean, if you're talking like the 2005 one, yeah. But are you talking to like the old one?
I don't. Well, I actually don't know what I'm talking about. I don't think. Yeah.
No, I think you're right. But I think Battlestar Galactica, I'm trying to remember.
Was it the 70s?
I don't remember if it was 70s or 80s. It started in 78, actually. So they could have been riffing on that, too.
Yeah. It might not be that because, again, I don't know anything about Battlestar Galactica. I just feel like I've seen a...
You should watch the reboot series. You'd like it.
Yeah, I do need to check it out. There's like a Titan class. Let me see if I can send this in the chat. But there's a Titan class ship that actually looks... I can't believe that I somehow pulled this having no knowledge of Battlestar Galactica. But that kind of like shape is what like I kept seeing. But I think it's also just like a classic like... starship shape as well. It's probably from like multiple different things.
Sure.
How were you able to paste a picture into the Zoom chat? I try to do that all the time and it never works for me.
I don't know. Special
space
powers.
Magic.
Space wow.
Because I'm fighting for the light side, Derek. That's why.
That's right.
You're right. I just love black holes too much.
I could see you like regretting saying it.
I was like, why am I
like,
doing
oh, no.
this?
What have I done?
But yeah, well, the ships were cool. I wish they had more of like the special design ones and not just like so many UFOs. But again, I think because it is like there is riffing on Close Encounters as well, I think they wanted to have that as like the UFO be the kind of spooky part, and then the other ship is like the, you know, the actual like fighting ship kind of thing.
I am surprised and appreciative of how much detail they put into even just the UFOs. I mean, it's not like they're a strange UFO shape, but they put a lot of design on them, and I just thought it was neat, especially because they're black, and so all the design was white. So it's like kind of a cool looking thing.
They weren't bad. It was I always like a ship that's not like your classic flying saucer, but I'm
inspired. You know?
Yeah, but I also understand why, like at this time, like a flying saucer, like still is pretty cool. Like,
yeah, makes sense.
The interior of the ship too were like, I mean, that was like your classic, like just 70s style space adventure kind of stuff, which was super fun to see.
Yeah.
What did y'all think about his droid friend?
Nobot.
Why is he named that? Why
is
he
it
Nobot?
Because he's a robot, but not. But that doesn't make sense.
No.
Why did they come up with that?
I think it was just them being uncreative. Is what it was.
Just call him Robot. Like if you want to be that uncreative, that's why I'm so confused.
Yeah.
Didn't make any sense.
I would have liked for him to be more homosexual, but other than that, I found him fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why we like C-3PO.
Exactly.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
I liked her quip of how she got away from the robot and like the whole you probably don't have many visitors if this is like your welcoming committee or something. It was just like so unnecessary. It's also like you're talking to a robot. Like what? But it was fun. It was interesting too because like I didn't really get danger from that robot. Like it didn't strike me as like sinister, but as soon as she saw it, she was like, oh no. Like it's just like I thought that I would have mistaken it for like a cleaning droid, like or you something, know? You know.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Jessica Drew does have a history with robots. So that's just like, you know, a little information we can provide you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she has.
She's encountered some evil robots before.
She's had a robot of herself that she's used a couple of times.
Yeah.
So she just hates all robots.
I think she befriended the one, right?
Yeah, I think she's just had some bad experience with robots. Yeah. She doesn't hate all of them. So I could see her being a little freaked. I mean, to be fair, I guess if I were to go to a UFO and there's a robot there, I would have trouble figuring out exactly what to do.
You're
in
right.
Situation.
She's like a little bigoted about robots, but not like totally bigoted about robots.
I'm being harsh.
Well, the solution to all of this is just that Jessica Drew Spider-Woman's powers are apparently the exact right light magic to reverse everything.
It's the light side winning against the dark side, Doug.
Yeah.
You know?
So easy to follow. Do they mention ever before this that her venom is light? Like magic or whatever, or is this the first time?
No, it's always implied to be some sort of electromagnetism or electric shock.
Okay.
They just kind of make up the light thing here.
Straight up is like Miles Morales' powers.
I think it literally is like, well, we draw it as being white all the time, so I guess that means it's light.
Yeah.
Okay.
My God.
Here's the thing. I could see if they wanted to be clever about it, they could have literally just inserted a line that was like, the electromagnetism can reverse the polarity of like the negativity of, or like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I felt like that's an easy call, but instead they were just like, my venom is light powered and this is dark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Venom is light.
I mean, again, yeah. I do kind of feel like they really actually were. I'm not joking. I do think they were riffing on the dark side, light side thing.
Yeah, I think so.
And oh, absolutely.
It. And so it was just like, well, she's light.
It's white colored.
Yeah.
How long did it take for episodes of this to be produced? Like, back
no
in the
idea.
Day? No idea.
Well, probably not very long.
Okay. Well, because one of the reasons why I was wondering was, especially when thinking about like the whole how the first half is so different from the second half bit, part of me wondered if they had like this idea in the can for a while and then they're like, oh, let's do a riff on Star Wars because Star Wars is super popular right now. And they just kind of like shoved it in there. But if it's really quick to crank out, that probably
I think this was
fit.
Straight up from the beginning meant to be inspired by Star Wars and other 70s sci-fi.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And she wins.
Yep.
Yeah, that's it.
She wins.
Ta-da. Oh, and the dog's alive.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Nope.
What?
I think the dog was an alien disguised
I think
as a dog.
The dog
also,
is a
what
web
the
construct.
Fuck was that? Yeah, Tommy. You go.
I'm so confused. They never show her rescuing the dog.
Mm-mm.
How did she get the dog back? Also, what was the deal with her telling him to pull on her web strand and then the dog appeared? Like, What was the dog, Jessica?
Where
I
was
know.
The dog?
Dog?
Where was the fucking dog? I am so confused.
I was so creeped out by this. I was like, this is so eerie. I'm convinced the dog is like some creepy like spider alien in disguise that she crafted from the black hole in her web magic, and poor little Timmy or whatever is going to go to sleep and his dog is just going to molt into this like 12-legged spider monster.
That is
hell yeah.
That sounds fucking
rad. That's how you get a sequel. Yeah.
Exactly. Right. That would happen in a horror, you know, sci-fi movie. Yeah. So.
Oh my God.
That's incredible. Honestly, this was the moment, Cass, where I stopped and was like, did I miss something?
Yeah.
I miss seeing that she had the dog the whole time? No. I did not.
It would have been so easy for the dog to, like, as she's leaving like the ship, like she just sees the dog barking and just picks it up. Like,
or
you know.
Yeah. Just have her walking up with the dog. I don't even need to see her save the dog. It's,
she's like,
what's
pull on
weird
the
about
string,
it is that,
Timmy.
That's the weird part.
It's so strange. It's like she's trying to be cutesy about it. And I'm like, that's not like a normal magic trick. You don't just like tug on a string and there's a dog on the
dog
other end.
He doesn't even really tug on it. He does this weird like, and then like the dog, like I did not know what was happening.
It was all
very weird.
And the episode ends on that note. Like that's
it's
the last thing
note.
We see.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It's so weird. I really thought it was hinting at her like pulling the dog from the other dimension with her web strand.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm saying she's like, he's some fucking.
Yeah.
Eldritch horror.
It's like the last part of the earth that she fixed so that she could pull off her weird magic trick.
I will say the dog's name is pretty cute. Moosey. Although that dog does not look like a moose. Like it doesn't look like a dog that would be.
It actually
moose.
Looks like the Simpsons dog. Because it was like a greyhound. It kind of looked greyhound and emaciated. I think so. Yeah.
It was like much smaller than Santa's Little Helper. But I could see that of like the shape of the face, especially.
Yeah. Yeah. I also like this stupid running gag of Jeff being so bad at his job that he either forgets his camera and then once he literally the forgets his camera thing, like dumb Jeff, whatever. It's their excuse for him to complain and not have pictures of the UFOs. But
because
then at the end,
it totally is that, because it doesn't matter that he doesn't have his camera.
Right,
everybody experienced this.
Right. But then like at the end, when the last UFO leaves, then like Spider-Woman just flies away in the fucking UFO, which is really funny. But like Jeff is like, oh man, I never got a single picture of any of those UFOs, and his camera is right around his
around
neck.
His
he could have just grabbed it and taken. Like they didn't
guy?
Make a they didn't
fucking idiot.
Fucking idiot.
Sucks.
Why is he like? I don't understand why Jessica doesn't take this opportunity to fire him. Then like there was an entire alien invasion. You didn't get a great you were up close and personal with it and you didn't take a single picture for a magazine, you're fired.
Inside of a ship. Dude was inside of a ship with his camera. Why didn't he take a picture of that? Also,
I don't know.
I love that the show made sure you knew that he left his camera in the car, because like as he leaves, it does a like pan to the camera.
Looks directly at it.
Yeah. So funny. It's like you wouldn't have just believed that that happened if he said it. Like they have to show it, but somehow they don't have to show how she gets the fucking dog back.
Nope. They're gonna dunk on him, not her. And yeah. I love that about this show.
That's true. That's true. I do love Spider-Woman's costume, though. I know y'all have already touched so on good. That, but like, it's just such a good
it.
Costume.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't love this costume. I've never been a huge fan of like the original Spider-Woman costume. I don't know why.
I think it's fun. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine.
I like all the eyes.
I like the eyes. I like the mm-hmm. web.
It is like underworld. Mustard and ketchup color, though. Like,
there is that.
The color scheme is a little
better
weird.
Color.
Oh, yeah. It's so weird. The color scheme is the only part I do kind of like about it.
Wow.
We're the exact opposite.
Wow.
I mean, at this point, I appreciate it because it's like a classic, you know?
Yeah.
So it's not like I would want them to never use it again, but I don't know. It's never been one of my favorites.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I mean, since this was your first exposure to this show ever, wild. I'm assuming. What are, I mean, I guess you probably kind of already said them, but like, what are your overall thoughts about this episode, but also just like Spider-Woman and this episode's relationship with Star Wars?
I'm just putting it out there that this is upgrading from Legends to canon. So everybody who listens to us knows that this is official canon now.
We will be editing Wikipedia right after this.
We speak.
Amazing.
Adding some entries.
No, I thought, I mean, it was fun. It's super goofy. Like, it's as goofy as it gets. Like, and it was not without its annoyances. I think they could have done a better job connecting the Star Wars of it all and not just do like the light versus dark and we're going to have a sword fight and this guy kind of looks like Darth Vader. Like, you know, like it would have been fun if they like did a little more like intentional riffing. I mean, not that like what they did wasn't intentional, but like, you know what I mean? Like it would have been cool if we got like a little more of like a wink in some bits, but
like if they leaned into it more.
Yeah.
Or not have had a guy that's actually sounded like Darth Vader instead of him sounding like he's like 30 feet away all the time, way that they record him. It's so strange.
Yeah.
Yeah. They could have done way better with that. That's my biggest complaint as well.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, I thought it was goofy and fun. Yeah. And I kind of wanted to see, I would have liked, now that you've told me that, you know, Spider-Woman just does whatever the fuck she wants and she like travels through space and shit.
Yeah.
I just want her to actually go to like Tatooine and like meet Luke Skywalker or something. Like,
honestly,
let's give us a true crossover.
For sure.
Yeah.
I would send Jessica Drew into space as like an ambassador of Earth way before I would ever send Peter Parker.
1,000%. She's got her shit together.
She does. Also, I just out of curiosity, I did search Wikipedia and Spider-Woman, and there is a result that came up. Marie Severin was a comic book artist who worked as a penciler, inker, and colorist. She contributed to a few issues of Marvel Comics' 1977 Star Wars series, as well as Droids and Ewoks. She was also the co-creator of the character Jessica Drew / Spider-Woman.
No fucking way.
Wow.
Oh, that rules.
That's awesome.
Wow.
So there you go. Shout out to Marie Severin.
Yeah, I love that.
Rules. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That just that upgraded this episode for me.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Oh, that rules. Well,
that's very good.
Before we fully wrap up, for non-Walloping Web Snappers listeners, we usually end an episode talking with pulling some of our favorite faces of the episode. So the things that Doug and I chose, I do think that there are some A+ ones in this episode. The first one that I chose, Billy having absolutely none of Jeff's bullshit. The face that he makes when Jeff says he forgot his camera and Billy just says, Jeff, fucking just face of like, how the fuck am I the grown up in this situation? I'm literally like a 9-year-old child. And I have more maturity and wherewithal than this fucking misogynistic piece of shit.
This is
that's
the
Omega.
Moment. This is
that's
the
Omega.
That's so true. I was gonna say this is the moment that Billy turns to the dark side. That's the yellow eyes. He's so sick
he's
of
so
Jess.
He's so angry.
Yeah.
Given to your anger,
pissed
Billy.
Off too much.
I love that like interaction too between the two of them. My read of it before I knew that Jeff is just a piece of shit was that it was him just being like, Jeff, you shouldn't worry about that right now. Like there's a freaking alien invasion.
I mean that too. Honestly, I think it could be both, really.
Billy rolls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the other faces we pulled, we already kind of talked about them, but just the fucking goofy ass Graviton stormtroopers with their like kind of Gamorrean esque faces.
I have something to add. Yes. And scroll down.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
You've already made a stormtrooper version of the cunty boot frame.
How did you do this so fast?
Oh, they even have cunty boots.
Yeah.
I'll admit, I used AI.
Oh, no.
I just had to get a vision, you know?
Yeah.
It's too fun.
Wow. I wanted to add really quick, but I couldn't get to the screen. I couldn't get to take a screenshot. The dog, there were some real great faces of the dog.
God.
Like, the dog made it. It almost made like a, just like eyes like kind of closed, like it was just like like almost like I don't know how to describe it. Like,
I'm telling you, it's evil.
A high ass dog.
It was like a high ass, it's like a high ass dog. Also the kid crying, like I love when they do tears in like this animation style because they're just like globs of water. Like,
oh my god, that was another part I loved, was when they came back and he was sitting on the porch and he's crying and he's like, Spider Woman, you told me you were gonna bring Moosey back and you didn't, and he's like so mad. I kind of wish she was like, yeah, sorry, kid. And just like walked away.
It's like, kid, the UFOs, like many people died in this alien invasion that like caused helicopters to crash and stuff. Shut about your fucking dog. Oh, my God.
Oh, that's true. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. Yeah, many people died in this ordeal.
She did promise.
I wish his mom had died, and then that was still his response. He was just like, you promised you'd bring Moosey back.
You wish his mom just had died?
Well, I don't wish his mom had died. I'm just saying it would have been even funnier if it's like, we just buried your mom in the backyard, and you're still upset about your dog.
And that child's name was Anakin Skywalker.
Uh-huh.
Yes!
Oh, wait!
What?
Yeah. Oh, you already mentioned this about how he doesn't have a dad. Like, his dad's not present.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very Anakin. Yeah. Yeah.
It's,
sorry.
It
I don't know why that clicked again
from
for me right there.
Yeah.
George Lucas watched this and was like, you know what? Huh. That's what I'm. Because he didn't, obviously, we all know this already, but he didn't know that's what it was going to be before he made that movie.
Yeah.
So he watched this and he was like, oh, shit, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. Like, oh, wait, what if. What if their Darth Vader was just this kid's dad? It would have made this episode make more sense, but it can also make my movies better.
Uh-huh.
Brilliant!
It can also make my movies better.
Yeah. Oh my god, this was so awesome.
Blast.
This was perfect.
Yeah. Tommy Cass, this is amazing. If they want to, if people are listening and want to hear more from you all, plug your podcast. If you're listening, you know, if you're listening to us on Wallpaper Web Snappers feed, go over to Disney Echoes, but plug where you are, what you're doing, and then plug yourselves individually too.
Yeah.
We are at Distant Echoes SW on Twitter and Instagram. And individually, I am at Cassie Thulu, mostly on Instagram, but also on Twitter.
And I am at Awkward Comma on Twitter. And then I also have a show that Derek and I are a part of. I can never say the right words when I'm talking about this. I also host Lee Carvalho's Potting Challenge with Derek, which is a playthrough of all of the lovely, wonderful, perfect Simpsons video games across history. And definitely come check us out. We just watched the finale at this point of Bad Batch, and I assume stopped crying by this point, but maybe we didn't. So come check that out if you're into that.
Cool. Mm. Thanks so much again. If you want to hear more from Walloping Web Snappers, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/walloping web snappers. We have tons of bonus content for as little as $1. And you can check out our Discord. We've got plenty of And you can check out our Discord. There's a link to that in our show notes. It's a great way to connect with other listeners and us and chat about anything that Doug and I are doing together. But otherwise, Doug, if people want to find you and everything you're working on, where can they do that?
You can find me all over the place at Ickybooley, I-C-K-Y-B-O-O-L-E-Y. You can also listen to me on a Glitter Jaw show called Novel Gaming that I do with my friend Katie, and we catch up on all the books and video games and sometimes other media we have been consuming lately. And we also have a YouTube channel, so make sure to check that
out.
And what about you, Derek?
Sure, you can find me most places at Derek B. Gale. I have a couple other podcasts that I do. I have a podcast called Gimmicks that I do with my co-host David, where we look at the high-concept, experimental, structure-breaking, gimmicky episodes of TV. Tommy, of course, already mentioned Lee Carvalho's Potting Challenge, so definitely check that out. And Doug and I have another podcast that we also do called Screonk, a Godzilla movie marathon where we're stomping through Godzilla's filmography. We have an episode on Godzilla versus Biollante out now with a fellow Glitterjaw podcaster, Gavin, from the Mixed Reviews.
Ooh.
So crossovers at the wazoo here.
Yeah.
That is our most recent episode. And we have an episode on Godzilla versus Megaguirus out on May 13th. All of this stuff that we're plugging is part of the Glitterjaw Queer Podcast Collective. If you want to find more queer creators to talk about media, find that podcast network at glitterjaw.com. And of course, visit us on our website at walpingwebsnappers.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at walpingwebpod. Email us at walpingwebsnapperspodcast@gmail.com. Rate, review, subscribe on all your podcast apps. And May 14th, we are going to be back finally to our regular schedule as we return to the 1981 Spider-Man show with Triangle of Evil.
Oh, God, that sounds scary.
That better not be homophobic.
I want to say it's going to be great, but this is one of those shows, so we'll see. We'll see, 1981. We're giving you another chance, 1981. See you then.
See ya.
Bye.